Lowe's helps refresh your garden in time for Mother's Day. Right now, get 5 bags of 1.5 cubic foot Scotts Naturescapes mulch for just $10. Plus, select 1.5 gallon annuals hanging baskets make the perfect gift. Now 2 for only $15. The best garden starts with great deals. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 5/7. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase.
Ever walk into a room and forget why you're there? Or misplace your keys more than you'd like to admit? As we get older, our brain slows down. We need to protect it. That's why I use Methylene Blue, the nootropic everyone is talking about to boost focus, memory, and mental clarity. Want to stay sharp, boost your focus, and protect your brain long term? Go to livegood.com/SXM to shop all of LiveGood's highest quality products at the lowest prices anywhere. livegood.com/SXM.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Delighted to be joined by somebody who's not just the best sports writer in the Sunday Independent, he might be the best writer in the paper. Unmissable every week, and also the Irish Independent on a Monday. He's written a new book, How One GAA Championship Gave a Sports Writer Back His Life. It's called The Last Ditch. Welcome to The Last Word, Eamon Sweeney.
Thanks very much, Matt.
Now, this book is fascinating, not just because it's your guide throughout the 2024 All-Ireland season, but it's the story of, is personal redemption too strong to put it, or personal recovery from crisis?
Recovery, I suppose. Redemption.
So yes, you've done something wrong, which
sounds,
you hadn't.
But it sounds a bit, personal redemption sounds like something I'd write on Monday about a footballer, you know. But recovery, I suppose, yeah. I mean, the point about the book, I suppose, in a way, is that when I was commissioned to do it, or when I was asked to do it as a follow-up to The Road to Croker from 21 years ago, I didn't think I'd a hope of doing it, because I'd been... Basically, I started suffering these phenomenal anxiety attacks connected with travel and just going out and so on. And for about a decade, I hadn't taken a plane, a boat, a train. Buses had become almost impossible for me. Cars were difficult. So the idea that I was going to start knocking around the countryside every weekend for 3 months looked like an impossibility. I thought there was no way I could do it. And to be honest, I did everything to annoy the publisher and stymie them and try to provide them with the excuse for saying, okay, I mean, we don't want you to do it.
So why did you do it?
Why did I do it? Because, I suppose because the editor, Ciara Considine, who's an excellent editor, annoyed me into it. But the main reason actually was my daughter said it to me. They said, look, they said, like, this is maybe, you know, your big chance. You have an absolutely good reason to do this, because we know you'd love to write this book. Why don't you just say this is the big chance? Give it one last shot. And it's not that I'd been lying down under it. I mean, I'd made efforts. I'd got back and done a bit of travelling. It would strike again with kind of renewed force. But then this time I said, well, look, we'll take it really seriously. We'll go to a psychologist. If medication is advised by a doctor, we'll go to it. We'll listen to people and we'll make an effort and we'll take it week by week. And if I get 3 weeks done, I get 3 weeks done. I'll give the money back to the publisher. And as it went on, it for the first half, I'd say, to be honest, the journeys were something I endured. And about halfway through, actually coming out of after a game between Limerick and Waterford, down in Limerick, I found it kind of breaking. And from then on, it was pure enjoyment. It was pure gravy, as they say, you know.
And you got all the way to Croke Park for the hurlers.
I got all the way to Croke Park. But I mean, it's a funny thing to look at it. I mean, even today I came up on the train to Euston Station and I'm still like a child. I can't believe I'm getting a train to Euston Station. I can't believe I'm getting a dart. It was so bad that I could not countenance, you know, getting a train. Seemed to be, I mean...
And Mr. Meech, you were pretty isolated given that you lived down in West Cork.
Yeah, well, for a year I didn't leave Skibbereen. There was a period where I went to Dublin once in 5 years. I mean, I was just absolutely confined to base, you know.
Why? What happened? What was it that did it to you?
What was it that did it to me? The original thing was in 2000, I was going into a match between Kerry and Cork in Killarney. Now, nothing was amiss. Everything was good. The life was good. The work was good. Things were going grand. I had a book out that year. And I'm walking in, I'm going into the stand to go around this the circle of Fitzgerald Stadium to the press box like so many times before, and I'm hit by this terrible, thunderous attack. You know, my heart started pounding as if it was trying to break out of my chest. I started pouring with sweat all from my head and my back. I couldn't catch my breath. And I was paralysed with fear. Remember, I was in a kind of gang of people. I could not move. And it was the most, you remember, I kind of felt like there was something crawling on my face. It was the most phenomenal feeling. I've never forgotten it, you know.
Did you think you were having a heart attack or something?
I didn't think I was having a heart attack. I don't know why. It felt like it was, I suppose that's what a heart attack could feel like, but I suppose I was 32 and I was like, you know, I just knew there was all this extra stuff probably wouldn't become with a heart attack. But the thing was, I didn't know what it was, because it's very easy to look back now, especially you talk to younger people and they're used to seeing, let's say, mental health, depression, anxiety. This is a thing which is talked about in the media and talked about in sports and so on. And at the time it wasn't, to be honest. You know, the only reference I had for mental illness was King Lear from the Leaving Cert. You know, I mean, it was, I didn't know what was wrong with me.
And how did you, what, on that particular day, when you're stuck there, you're frozen, panic-stricken, what actually happened then? Did somebody help you to the press box or what happened?
What happened was the strangest thing, and I've often thought of it since. A guy, one of the lads minding the gate, let a shout out to me. He says, Eamon Sweeney, the Cork Examiner, come across the pitch. And I've often thought, he must have spotted something, because in all the years I've gone to match, those fellows will never say to you, take a shortcut across the pitch to go to the press box. You know, they'll be determined to put you the long way around. So he said that, and I went over, and I remember I went into the press box and I watched the match. It was a very good game. I watched the game. I filed my report. And I remember somebody actually said that there was so much sweat. Somebody said, you're sweating. This is like a racehorse. You know, I was absolutely drenched with sweat, you know. And I did that. And then over the next 3 months, I came apart, you know. I couldn't do anything. I missed most of that year's championship. It just got worse and worse and worse. And towards the end, all I could do was I took to a deck chair in the backyard.
Did you go for help?
Did I go for help? I went to doctors, yeah.
And were they helpful?
They were helpful to a bit, you know. I got prescribed an amount of different tablets, you know. Eventually, the thing burnt itself out, or what they were giving me worked okay. But when I look back on it now, it strikes me that I was a bit like the guy that does the hamstring, and we strap it up and we'll put him on at 75% pace, and you know the hamstring is not fixed. So the following year, I was in Venice coming back from a holiday with the Siobhan, the mother of my kids, and I got a similar attack on the plane in the airport in Venice, which was so bad, and I created such a ruckus. They let me off a plane that was on the runway, revving up to go. It was a few months before September 11. I mean, if it had been after, they might have shot me. But
how did you get back then if you didn't take the flight?
By train and boat, and it was like Homer's Odyssey, to be honest. You know, I eventually got back and I said, that's it, no more planes for me, no more. And up until 6 months ago, I never travelled abroad. I spent 24 years without ever leaving the country.
Because you also became afraid of going on boats.
I became afraid of going on boats. I was to go out for my daughter's christening in Cape Clear. Her mother is from Cape Clear. And as the morning we were to step off that morning, couldn't do it. Filled with horror, fear. Eventually, at the end of the day, you know, took the last boat out and honestly had to keep a grip on myself. The boat was very frightening because you can't get off a plane and you can't get off a train, but you can get off a boat into the sea. That doesn't mean I was suicidal, but out of pure panic, the thought was there. I'd have gone into the sea, you know, and hoped they rescued me. But that was, and that finished me with the boat. And then about, I was going up to Ireland playing Australia. I think out my life by sporting fixtures. It was the day Brian O'Driscoll, I think, got a try in the last minute to draw it.
It was 2002, November 9.
Yeah, I was going up to that.
No, we won that day. Sorry,
I think it was later.
Yeah.
Do you remember, we didn't play well and O'Driscoll got one at the end.
Yeah.
And I got a tremendous fright on the train in Galway. I was so filled with fear, I jumped off and I left my luggage and everything for the weekend there. And that was trains gone. And eventually, about 3 years ago, I was getting a bus and the bus was gone.
How did all your loved ones and friends and employers deal with all of this?
Well, my loved one, my family know about it, obviously. It's not something I speak about. I think my sports editor at the Sunday Indo would know that there's not much point telling me,
I need you to go to such and such a match.
I mean, unfortunately, me being a columnist isn't really connected with this. It was just that they felt a columnist would be the thing I'd be best at. But it did have the advantage that, you know, I'm not a match reporter. So what I'm largely doing anyway is commenting on the stuff that's been on. You don't actually need to be that. But I'm not sure. I think it's probably been a surprise to everyone, you know. I think John Green, my sports editor, was a very good guy and a very understanding guy. I knew there was something up, but I'm not sure he knew exactly what was up. Because to be honest, I carried a huge, crushing shame about it. You know, I just felt this isn't normal. You know, what's wrong with you? I'm a guy of a generation. You know, you didn't say much. You cracked on. You got through it. You know, off your own steam. And this was something I couldn't get. And I kept codding myself.
Was there any, and I'm sorry for sounding like an amateur psychologist and asking this question, but was there any repressed trauma or something that might have been causing this?
Well, that's not a bad. I was on a local radio station the other day, and a fella rang in and he said, "Does he think it was the vaccines?" So I don't think I'm going to get a better question than that.
Right, okay.
But it wasn't the vaccine. But no, there wasn't a repressed trauma. Funnily enough, it's one of the problems I had with counselling, that there seemed to be a kind of a determination to shove you towards something terrible in your childhood. No, I had a boringly ordinary childhood in rural Sligo, and I'm a fairly uncomplicated kind of a guy. Do you know what I mean? My childhood was happy enough. My family life was happy enough. I really love the job I do. I love going to games. I was never in a way actually depressed, which is a funny thing. I mean, I would think of myself as one of life's enthusiasts. You know, I'm always seeing something I think is great. No, I don't. But to answer your question properly, I suppose, no, I don't think there was a repressed trauma or there was anything terrible or, you know, and counsellors are very keen to unroot this. But it was, you know, your kind of average, you know, Irish childhood, really. It couldn't be more average.
And then, on the other hand, how lucky were you that you had the job and that you had the GAA and all the other sports, because you write knowledgeably and passionately about other sports as well every Monday morning. How lucky were you that you had that?
I was incredibly lucky, because if I'd been actually, as I was with the Examiner, match reporting, if I'd been on the daily papers, you know, I obviously couldn't do the job, and like a lot of journalists, I can't do anything else, you know. So I would have been bunched, but you know, I've managed to batter away at it, yeah. But I've been blessed, you know, because to be quite honest, someone might be thinking, well, if he had to go to a job, it might have been better. He'd have gone out to do it. I couldn't have got on those trains or buses or whatever if the platform had been on fire. I couldn't have got on them.
But you say you're a very positive person and you didn't suffer from depression, but you're also a very inquisitive person. So were you not desperately trying to work out, why is this? Why does this happen to me?
Well, I did. I read all kinds of, you know, stuff and, you know,
hopefully not about vaccines.
No, hopefully not about vaccines. Like, you're a man in Three Men in a Boat. Every time he reads his description of the disease, he's convinced he has it. But no, I mean, it was a mystery to me. I mean, I worked out that what I probably have is, there's a thing called chronic anxiety syndrome, which and I was saying to the kids, well, I think I might have this, but it says that this seriously affects your life. And I don't think it seriously affected my life. And they were like, Dad, you can't get on a bus, you can't get on a train, you can't get on a plane. Sometimes you can hardly leave the house. It's affecting your life. I mean, it's just anxiety. I don't know where it comes from, you know. And I've done an amount of counselling over the years. I've read a load. It was a mystery to me.
And what's it like now writing publicly about it in The Last Ditch and talking about it in programmes like this?
Well, it's very odd, because funny, I was talking to Joe Brawley and Joe said, you're the last person I would have thought would write about this, because you're not a personal self-revelatory kind of guy and there's very little of you in your columns, which is true, you know. What's it like? I suppose just to go back to it, I met the editor after the final All-Ireland final. I met her and I was more or less on the way out the door. You know, in the Irish way you do, you give a kind of a parting shot. And I said, you're lucky you got this book at all. I said, because when you commissioned me, I thought there was going to be no book at all. And she said, how do you mean? And I told her and she said, but sure, that's the story. Do you not see that that's the story of the book? And I was halfway through writing the book, which didn't mention this at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was just a kind of a average GAA travelogue, you know, which had the, I had to go back and do a lot of rewriting then. And she said to me, no, that's interesting. So I was like, I don't know. But then I actually thought, if anything has been damaging me, I think, as a person, it has been holding on to this for years as a terrible secret, you know. And you know, you mentioned before we came in, there was a time I abandoned one of your shows for just before I was to go on because I was panicking, you know. And there was other times
I didn't realise that at the time. Didn't. It's only now that I understand why it was that you told the producer just before you were due to come on air, I can't do it, sorry, I have to go, bang, gone. And we're going, what the hell's gone wrong here? What's happened?
Yeah.
Now I know.
And there was an amount of people I kind of let down over the years, you know, and without explanation, I kind of hoped, well, you know, I used to be fond of a drink. I didn't drink now in 7 years, but I kind of hoped they thought, well, you know, he's off in the tear, because at least that would sound a bit Jack the Lad, kind of rock and roll, you know, the character. But to admit to myself and to other people that I was scared.
If you're not drinking, though, might that have had something to do with it?
Ah, no. It didn't make... I mean, I actually gave up drinking because I thought it might lessen it.
Yeah.
It had no effect on it one way or the other, actually, which was a kind of a killer in a way, because I thought for, you know, maybe this is it. You know, maybe it's the drinking. If I gave up the drinking. But sadly, I thought, you know, drinking was making me anxious. I now think, to be honest, the way I drank was more or less a kind of a hedge against anxiety. I wasn't a tremendously social drinker, or, you know... It tended to be a fairly grim kind of a thing.
But you do love the social nature of going to games, which must have been off last year. I mean, just take, for example, you know, going through the book, and I was very taken. I greatly enjoyed the Cork Limerick game last year that you're writing about. And you were writing about a guy you described as a skinhead who was either a guy who wouldn't be let into a nightclub or would be the bouncer at the nightclub. And he's getting very het up. And he's shouting and roaring, but at the end of the game, he came back to you to apologise. And I love that, because one of the things I love about going to GAA games is no segregation of the fans, the way that you're in there. And there could be a lot of sort of fairly sharp banter going on, and particularly when it gets to club level, as much as the inter-county level. But afterwards, everyone's grand with each other.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that, you know, he had spent the whole, as the game slipped away from Limerick, he got more and more aggressive and more personal with the Cork players. But the best thing was the guy beside me was a Cork man called Finbar, who was one of these men you would describe, I'd say, as permanently up for the crack. And the worse your man got, the more Finbar would wind him up. So it was kind of like watching two lads play a kind of a, you know, duet together. And this guy comes up, he also had two other big fellas. And I thought to myself, maybe you've miscalculated here, Finbar. But no, up he came, and, you know, this is the way I get at matches, and, you know, good luck in the final and so on. And I do love it. I mean, I do. I suppose, in a way, what last summer was like me, if you remember the first summer after lockdown, you know, people had been suddenly realised, God, I love doing these small things that I used to do, and I couldn't do them for a year. I had this small stuff I hadn't done for 10, a dozen years, and to get back was...
And you actually have a line in the book which I thought was really pointed as well, about how in the 21 championship went ahead at the end of the year, you said how important that was because of the fact that a lot of people... You just need the conversation about what's going on in the championship. You make a lot of references to your own mother having the phone calls with her, chatting about the week's sport every weekend, and that people at the end of that COVID year needed the championship to go ahead.
They did. She was kind of going up the wall, to be honest, because of cocooning and that, you know,
yeah.
and that, you know, it would really have got to her if there'd been no championship for weeks before, and she was saying, do you think there'd be a championship? So I was writing these columns saying, yeah, bring on the championship. And I still think that was a great contribution by the GAA, you know, because there was some great games, and it gave people a rest from checking the news to see, you know, is the rate of increase up, and what are the number of cases, and what are the new black spots? Because, I mean, that's the thing about the GAA. It is always a social thing.
But it's, it is ironic to think about it that you say about the fact that everyone had to sort of get used to, for in the first year in 2020, the 2 kilometre restrictions, the 5 kilometre not being able to go to your county. And that's what you've been living through over the last couple of decades, I mean, because you couldn't travel.
The funny thing is, I mean, I had a kind of a good COVID, because it made no difference to me. In fact, it was almost a bit of a relief, because now I'm like, well, nobody's going to ask me why I'm not going anywhere, you know.
I'm just going to finish, and I see Michael Harding has written a great tribute to the book on the front cover of it as well. But you sound great now. When was the last time you had a panic attack?
When was the last time I had a panic attack? The last time I had a panic attack was the first day of doing the championship. I got off the bus.
Last year.
I got off the bus in the Grand Parade, and I turned and I was walking out towards the marina to go up to Páirc Uí Chaoimh, and I had the mother and father of a panic attack, and I said to myself, you're never going to do this. This is going to always be like this. Abandon ship. And then I said to myself, and maybe it was a turning point, I said to myself, well, no, keep going. Keep going out this long straight road to Páirc Uí Chaoimh. See how you get on. You know, at least try it, you know, try and ride this out. And I got out there, and yeah, it's like the book has changed my life. There's a line I like, there's a musician I like, Buddy Guy, a blues musician. He says, you can only sing the blues if you have the blues, he says, but when you sing them, you lose them. And I think, you know, the book is part of the story, but the book is also the best part of the cure I had. I think the book did more to cure me than anything else.
And I think so many people are going to enjoy reading The Last Ditch. Eamon Sweeney, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Matt. Cheers.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Ever walk into a room and forget why you're there? Or misplace your keys more than you'd like to admit? As we get older, our brain slows down. We need to protect it. That's why I use Methylene Blue, the nootropic everyone is talking about to boost focus, memory, and mental clarity. Want to stay sharp, boost your focus, and protect your brain long term? Go to livegood.com/SXM to shop all of LiveGood's highest quality products at the lowest prices anywhere. livegood.com/SXM.